Do you love listening to the Tarot Diagnosis? Would you like more of it in your life?
Come visit our shop, where you can buy a growing collection of mini courses, guidebooks, and soon to be much, much more.
It's a great way to expand your own tarot practice, check in with your mental health, and support our work.
Just go to thetarotdiagnosis.com and click the shop link.
We're so grateful for your support.
You're listening to the Tarot Diagnosis. We're your hosts. I'm Luna.
And I'm Shannon. We're both clinical psychotherapists who trained together at Johns Hopkins.
Now we are both in private practice in Tampa, Florida, and in Baltimore, Maryland.
We also both happen to have a love for tarot.
Each episode, we work to demystify the tarot and explore its connections to mental and emotional health.
While this podcast may feel therapeutic, it is not meant to take the place of psychotherapy.
Join us while we pull cards to better understand ourselves and those around us. Hey, Shannon.
Hey, Luna.
So before we start our episode this week, we want to do a quick mention that we have just released our new online store.
Yeah, it's so exciting. We've been kind of working behind the scenes on goodies to offer, which are really just more in-depth, like tarot spreads plus like therapeutic insights on topics that it seems like a lot of people have interest in.
Yeah, you know, we released it a week ago now, and it has been an absolute delight to get to watch what people are buying and what people like are buying bundled, like what people are like getting this thing and this thing.
Yeah.
It's been so fun to get to engage, and we're getting some great feedback on some of the work we've done, because really this was a behind the scenes. We think our community would like these topics, and the response is amazing. So thank you for everyone who's already made a purchase, and hopefully we'll come up with even more stuff in the future that will knock your socks off.
Oh, you know it. And you know we're probably already working on it behind the scenes as well. So stay tuned.
Little secrets.
So what are we... jinx! What are we talking about today, Luna?
So today we're talking about, no big deal, just stress.
Right?
Yeah.
No big deal. We're no big all deal. Super, like, I think we're all really stressed lately, obviously, because we're still in the middle of a pandemic. Like, school just started. A lot of us are trying to figure out, like, are we working from home? Are we working at the office? There's, like, so many things going on that I think is a shared experience and a shared stress right now, but just a really common experience that we all have, but it's not necessarily a good common experience.
Yeah. And I think that that's the interesting thing to talk about. We do in our community right now, it does feel like there's just a shared experience of this overwhelmed feeling. And that's worth talking about. But I think that really, as we go deeper and deeper, there's ways to sort of talk about how we can utilize stress in more effective ways, why stress exists, and why the good and the bad and the ugly of it, I think is what I want to say there.
Yeah, I think that's definitely when we were talking about how we wanted to approach this, how we kind of framed the episode. And we even posted a story because I think we were curious. We knew that we wanted to talk about stress, but we were like, well, let's find out what our community wants to know about stress. And, you know, so we posted a story a few days ago, like saying, hey, we're recording an episode on stress. And a lot of you, we asked if you had any questions, and a lot of you actually like responded and had some really like cool and really specific questions, which I think we both appreciated. Honestly, a lot of the questions, I feel like we probably could have done an episode, like a single episode on each question that everyone asked. Sure. So if you did submit a question, like, thank you, we really appreciate it. And we're probably going to focus on like just two major questions today, but you know, we'll see. I'm sure we'll mention the other ones too.
Well, what I thought was interesting was how much commonality the questions had. You know, like it's all basically the same question when you boil down to it, but we could talk for an hour about each one. Do you want to pull a card just to kind of start us off?
Yeah, let's pull a card on maybe just what we need to keep in mind as we talk about stress.
That sounds good. Who are you pulling from today?
My tarot vintage deck, because I love it so much.
Oh, the new one. So pretty.
And it's interesting because I've never been drawn to the traditional like tarot imagery. I mean, I am to an extent, but I've never been really called or drawn I don't know, use it in just like my daily practice, but there was something about this deck that I was like, I have to have it. What are you using?
I'm loving, first of all, that you've found yourself a vintage deck that you love. Because, you know, I love the old school decks. So yes. It's so fun to see you working with it.
Yeah.
I'm using Terror of the Abyss again, because partly because I just had it right here. And also because I really love it.
Yeah, I think that it's probably a really good deck to use for this topic.
It is. It is. What card did you pull?
I pulled, well, one fell out, so I'm trying to decide if I want to.
You gotta do like, the one that fell out.
Okay, I'll do that one then. Nine of Wands.
Oh, yeah.
What did you pull?
I pulled the Tower.
No, stop it.
Thank you, Terror of the Abyss.
No, that is so funny. Oh, yeah. That's too easy.
It's so easy, I know.
I mean, honestly, Nine of Wands and Tower kind of go together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, what's your interpretation of pulling the Tower for this?
I mean, okay. So what I'm going to talk about the card specifically. As you know, I feel like I want to tell this like little story that you and I were on the phone last night, just kind of talking about what we're doing today and some other stuff. And we were talking about, a pull that I had done and Terror of the Abyss had offered this card, and the imagery on it had such a different meaning or a different twist that it was just like, oh, dang. So I want to talk about the imagery on this card too. This is a picture of like what looks like an adorable, like little cottage, almost like a fairy tale cottage. And it is somehow perched on the branches of a tree that seems to be on a cliff. And there's like lightning cracking behind and there's people falling. So that part is traditional. But there's something that strikes me as kind of funny about this image. And I feel like this card is asking me to be a little bit more playful, because it's it feels young and like a ridiculous story. I don't know if you ever read, there's the book series called The Series of Unfortunate Events, which then became a Netflix series. Yeah. And if you haven't read the books, particularly if you can listen to the books on audio, it is a joy and a delight. And I listen to them all with my kids and they are wonderful because they're dark, because all these horrible things happen to these kids. This image reminds me so much of one of the houses in this book. But it's like, it's also fun and it's also playful. And it's also like, okay, there's a disaster, but maybe there's some good in it too. And so I don't know, this card, it's not to me about the tower as much as it's about the image.
In the message that you got out of the image,
yeah,
which really is very much Nine of Wands, because, you know, Nine of Wands being very like, ooh, you know, there's a lot of discomfort, you know, you might feel like something's after you, or you might be feeling like you're experiencing a lot of setbacks, or just like this overall, like, I don't know, just like barriers or burdens. But the other part of Nine of Wands is like this level of encouragement. Like you have like this like inner sense of resilience and this inherent strength to kind of push past whatever's going on. I feel like that's very similar to what you're talking about, the tower, which one of the images that I really like in the tower is from the Field Tarot, where there's this really prominent ray of light that's shining like from the front of it. And it's like, oh, look, like there's a light over here. Like, let's go towards the light. And it's very similar to what you're talking about with your tower card, and reminds me of the level of like resilience and encouragement that's also present in the Nine of Wands. So I think when we get really stressed out in life, we can start to feel almost like tunnel vision, like, oh my God, I'm stuck in this black hole and nothing's ever going to get better. And I'm just so overwhelmed. It can feel really overwhelming. And the messages that we're saying are, even though it feels that way, it doesn't mean that that's true.
Yes. I mean, I think that really what's coming forward almost immediate is this concept of stresses are real and need to be taken seriously and are opportunities at times. Or challenges for us to have some growth. Now, I will also say that that is an annoying thing that I just said. And if somebody had said that to me literally 2 hours ago as I was like trying to drive my child to school for the first day of school. And it was like a disaster and stressful and terrible. And if somebody had said like, it's a really good teachable moment for you to learn opportunities, I would have like wanted to sock them in the face. But I mean, yes, and all these things can be true. And stress sucks.
And so what you were experiencing this morning would be considered acute stress.
It wasn't nothing cute about that stress.
That was good. I liked that. But yeah, there's actually different types of stress, and acute stress is one of them, which is, you know, that time limited everyday type of stress, dealing with traffic, you know, that doesn't necessarily last all day. But it is something that is frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, and your heart pumps hard and like you have a physical reaction. Mm-hmm. I mean, it feels like danger. And like acute stress is not fun. And I think we've all experienced it. You go to the dentist or whatever. And like that moment of like, this is terrifying. Do you want to name the other two types of stress?
Yeah. So there's the acute, there's episodic and chronic. And episodic is basically just when acute stress is drawn out, I think, over time. And also a lot of type A people tend to experience episodic stress.
Oh, my God. So we could have a conversation right there about internal versus external stress.
Yeah.
How much stress is self-induced? So how much of your stress is I'm stressed out because somebody just nearly hit me as I was going through a green light. That's like a good example of acute stress. Episodic stress would be every day I have this really terrible commute that is awful and grueling and just like wears me out physically. That's a good example of episodic acute stress. Or, I mean, that could also be like at work. If you have a boss who is constantly changing the rules, that's a good example of episodic stress, that like it just keeps happening. Now, that could be external, somebody trying to hit you in the car or your boss, or it could be internal, the constant, like I'm always beating up on myself or it's not good enough or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Like type A people tend to have to like take on a lot in order to, I don't know, all kinds of stuff. Yeah. You know, with type A people, we tend to feel like we have to keep stacking things up. And then we look at all these things that we've stacked up and we're like, now I'm overwhelmed. This is too much. But it's what we've brought on to ourselves. And you have to be careful with that because it's really not good for overall physical and emotional health, which, you know, we're going to get into in a little bit anyways, because one of the questions someone asked was basically how you kind of mitigate that. Mm-hmm. But another type of stress is chronic stress. And chronic stress is, you know, very much how it sounds. It's usually external, environmental, outside of our control. So think, you know, experiencing poverty, exposure to mental and emotional or physical abuse, experiencing drug abuse or substance misuse, either for yourself or people that you live with. And so that's something that you might not have control over.
Right. And I think as we talk about these things, you can see how it blends. I mean, like, where do we draw the line between acute versus episodic versus chronic? I mean, it's blurry.
The good news is that there's actually a type of good stress, though.
You know I love the good stress.
Can you talk about it?
The type of good stress, it has a name, which, talk about stress. When I looked at it, I was like, wait, I don't know how to say this. Oh, no. Small, teeny moment of stress. It's not spelled at all the way that it sounds. It's pronounced eustress, as in like eustress, which is hilarious, but it's spelled with an A. And essentially the concept is that there is a type of stress that does challenge us and that does give us an opportunity to level up. And a good example is like first day of a new job that you were really excited about getting. That was like a reach for you. You're going to have eustress on that day because you really want to do a good job, but you're also still, you know, you're a little sweaty, you're a little panicking, like you've got the flutters, but it's a positive type of stress.
Yeah. And I rarely use the like actual term when I talk about it. I'm just like, there's good stress. We're going to talk about good stress. And it's so funny because you and I were talking about the Eight of Wands the other day, cause I had pulled it and you were like, ooh, that card like makes me nervous or something, or it makes you feel pressured. And I was like, oh, but I love Eight of Wands. It makes me feel excited. It's that positive sense of urgency. And then when we were preparing for the episode, I was like, oh, I perceive Eight of Wands as eustress. But it's interesting how, and I think this is a really good example of how different, you know, quote unquote, stressful situations might be perceived differently. Like what I might consider eustress, you might actually experience as like acute or episodic stress. So, you know, even as we talk about these different types of stress, the way you experience it might be different than the way like your partner, your boss, or your friends or family experience it.
I love that you just brought that up, because it really, it's so important to always come back to a place of compassion for self and compassion for others. Just because you don't find a situation stressful doesn't mean that it's not profoundly stressful for another person, and vice versa. Just because somebody else is like, what's the big deal? The experience of stress that you're having is still very real.
Yeah. And it's important to validate that.
Yeah.
So I think that we should talk about some of the questions we chose.
Sounds good. Where do you want to start?
Well, I figured I'll just go ahead and like read both the questions and share who submitted them. So we had trouble like deciding, because the two that we really wanted to talk about, we were both just like, let's just talk about them both. The first one is from Bear Ridge Tarot, and they asked, how do we begin to re-regulate when life right now is all fight or flight?
Such a good question.
I know. And then the Growing Place Tarot asked, how do I protect myself from soaking up and internalizing other people's stress? Mm-hmm. I love both of these so much. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for submitting questions.
I think that they're both great questions, and really are both essentially about self-regulation. Whether the stress that you're feeling is external, like I have a lot of pressure around paying my bills or driving to work or whatever, or the pressure of everyone around me is so stressed and it's seeping into me. In both cases, it comes down to, how do I manage myself?
Yeah, it really is. And that's really what stuck out to me from Bear Ridge Tarot, you know, using the term re-regulate or regulate, you know, in fight or flight, because, you know, regulating our bodies and our emotions is really important in terms of just managing overall stress and just being in tune with like what we're experiencing. And you know, if we're not checking in with ourselves and if we're not regulating, that's when that episodic stress can transfer into chronic stress, which isn't going to end well.
No. Chronic stress is really, we haven't even talked about the idea that like stress does do something to the body. It physically, like long term, it physically affects your body. Your body is designed to experience some stress. It's not like you can get through the world without any stress, or that like experiencing some stress is going to kill you. Everybody has to have stress. That's how we stay alive. However, if you keep having it over and over and over again, I think we all know it affects blood pressure, it affects your heart, it affects your physical well-being across the board. So kind of keeping the balance is super important. The question becomes, how much of it can we control? How much of it do we have some autonomy over? And how much of it is just like bad luck?
And how much of it is just bad luck? Yeah, you know, and I'm glad that you spoke about that, because our bodies do actually release a specific stress hormone. It's called cortisol. It's a naturally occurring hormone in our body. You know, when we're overwhelmed, it gets pumped throughout our body, which I feel like kind of fuels that fight or flight response that Bear Ridge Tarot was talking about. You know, and it's honestly, I remember when I was in my internship, I loved the way my supervisor at the time explained cortisol, because I was like specializing in trauma. And so we were talking about how cortisol is super present in trauma cases. And she had this really cool like graph and all these like cool things that we would show kids. And it was really helpful because it stuck with me all these years. But cortisol is actually something that helps us wake up in the morning, which I don't think a lot of people realize. Our cortisol spikes in the morning so that we're able to kind of like wake up and get our day going. And then it's supposed to kind of level off and then drop throughout the day. So then by the nighttime when we're ready to go to sleep, we're actually able to fall asleep. So if you're actually having trouble falling or staying asleep, it might actually be because your cortisol levels are still too high. Not a medical doctor, but you know, just FYI. Something else that I think is really important is the body actually needs at least 30 minutes to metabolize cortisol. So in order to actually regulate, which is what Berridge Tarot was asking, you need to be able to be intentional with your time in your body. So if you notice that you're starting to get activated, like Luna, you just said, you know, your blood pressure might get up, your heart's going to race, you might feel sweaty, other sort of symptoms of stress, you need to figure out, okay, what can I do that is soothing? And then remove yourself from the situation if you can, in order to focus on something that's a little bit more calming, allows you to tap into that 30 minutes, allow your body to metabolize the cortisol so that you're not just existing in this like heightened state of stress and anxiety and discomfort.
You know, everything you just said really started to make me think about sleep. Which is really the ultimate way of us learning to regulate ourselves. You know, like when you have a baby come home, one of the things that has to happen is like getting the baby to essentially learn how to self-soothe so that the baby can sleep through the night. And there's lots of feelings and opinions about how to do that. But I mean, it's true of most infants. Some are just naturally good at it. But most infants need to sort of learn this process of being able to fall asleep on their own. And I think that it just, that's a beautiful way of talking about it for ourselves as adults, that we also need to learn how to soothe ourselves and fall asleep on our own, which is hard for a lot of adults still, and how to regulate after having a scare in the car, or how to regulate after like our partner freaks out or our boss yells at us, so that we can come back to this place of stability and, you know, Two of Pentacles or Temperance, that place of like letting the cortisol calm back down and become more regulated.
Yeah, it makes me think too how much of a responsibility we have in knowing what allows us to feel safe to regulate and asking for what we need if someone's around us. So like if we are in a heightened state of stress and, you know, our partner doesn't understand it, or our friend doesn't understand it, and they're saying, what the hell is wrong with you? Or, you know, if you're driving in the car and, you know, something happened and you're having a hard time coming down, you know, then that could lead into arguments and misunderstandings, because you're not saying, hey, I actually need you to just like put your hand on my back right now and help me feel a little grounded, or I need you to distract me right now. We can really turn inwards and feel like we have to figure out how to process and regulate on our own, which can actually cause more stress because it becomes more and more difficult. So tapping into and figuring out, what do I need from the people around me when I'm feeling stress, and how can I ask for it? Because chances are, you know, if you're with your partner or a friend, they're likely going to want to know what they can do to help you feel less stressed. I know, like, so for me, anytime I'm driving somewhere new, I get really stressed because I don't know where I'm going. And like my friends and my partner all know that I get stressed when I'm driving somewhere new. And so I have to turn the radio down and I can't have a lot of banter talk in the car. It's one of those things. I have to focus. And, you know, they used to really like, I don't know, like poke at me and make fun of me for it for a while. And I always like took it with a grain of salt, because like that's how I grew up. Like, that's fine. I like being playful and like, you know, poking fun at each other. But I ended up having to tell them at some point, we were traveling, like, hey, actually, I do like feel kind of bad when you all make fun of me, because I really just need to focus and I need your help in focusing. And they were all like, oh my gosh, yeah, we're so sorry. Like, we'll totally like help you. And so for years, I sat with like kind of being hurt that I had to figure out how to regulate that stress on my own. And finally, like a couple years ago, I was just like, hey, I actually like don't like when you all do this. Can you help me like regulate and focus? And they were so like ready to do that and help me. So I think it's a good example of not just staying, you know, inside and isolating internally. Ask for what you need.
I love that. I've been like, I keep thinking right now about this idea of like somebody listening to this and sort of saying like, okay, yeah, we all get it. Like, there's stress, but like, what do we do? And I love what you just provided of, well, first of all, you set some boundaries and you ask for help. But the first step of that is you recognizing, oh, I'm heightened right now. Oh, I'm really like my heart is beating fast, or I'm feeling like really agitated. And so I need to sit and figure out what's going on with me. And then I need to change the situation around me any way I can. And I'm glad that you have friends and family who will listen when you say, right? I don't like being poked fun at.
Some don't.
And so like, then you have to set other boundaries around like, well, so I'm not going to drive with that person in the car.
Yes.
And
exactly.
we can't control every element of our life. That's sort of the thing, is that like, there's always going to be a situation where we have a coworker who is just like making us miserable. And we haven't been able to find another job yet. Okay. Then we have to figure out other ways to manage. And I think that goes back to some of these questions of like, when there is an external situation that is, we're working on it, but it can't be fixed right now, or there's not an easy fix, how do I come back to a place of self-soothing?
Yeah. And that really ties into what the Growing Place Tarot asked. They asked, how do I protect myself from soaking up and internalizing other people's stress? And we could even just say like external stress, like the stress of just like the world around us. It's such a good, relevant question.
Yeah. I think that this question of how do I protect myself from other people's stress is a very good one. And I think that it really it's a learned behavior, and we could sort of go off on like a whole world about like, are you an empath? I don't think it matters. I mean, I think people like it sometimes when I will use that word for them and identify and be like, it sounds like you're kind of an empath, because then it feels like they have the right to say that stresses me out.
But yeah.
You know what? We all get stressed out when somebody around us is stressed to varying degrees. So it doesn't matter if you're an empath or not empath, like this affects everybody. And I think one thing that we learned in therapy school was learning how to not let it be ours. And to me, right, like that begins with me noticing what's going on. I'm not actually a very somatic therapist. I'm not one who like does a lot of body check-ins. Just I'm too like in my head. But that is the place where I check in. If I'm feeling nervous or if I'm sort of having a weird reaction to something, the first thing I'll do is just sort of notice, oh, I have butterflies or I'm feeling a little antsy. And I'll check, is this me? Is this my nervousness? Or is this somebody else's? And once I'm able to identify this is somebody else's nerves, then I can sometimes compartmentalize it and say, like, that doesn't belong to me. And so I'm choosing to not feel it.
I can't tell you how powerful that has been just for me personally. And even like my partner, because when we don't know that, we automatically assume everything we're feeling belongs to us and that it's about us. And the perfect example of this is, you know, a lot of times when I'm at the grocery store and I'm checking out, you know, sometimes I'll get anxious for no reason. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm anxious because I'm in close quarters with people. And sometimes I can get claustrophobic. I feel fine. And then I'll look at the cashier, the person who's, you know, putting my groceries in a bag and think, oh, wait, I think they're actually nervous right now. You know, especially if it's someone who's new, or, you know, maybe they've had a lot of, maybe the store's been really busy that day. And I think, oh, I think I'm actually like picking up on their nervousness. And it's funny, it's been validating because my partner, like when we get in the car, they'll be like, did you feel that? I'll be like, yeah, me too. Okay, that wasn't us. It was definitely the person at the register. And we're like, okay, yeah, that's not ours. We can let it go. And it's such a really powerful and helpful experience because, yeah, sometimes it isn't ours. And I think recognizing that line and that boundary between you and the other person and just doing that quick check-in, like you said, can be really important because sometimes it is. Sometimes, you know, okay, no, I am feeling nervous right now because, you know, this person is standing too close, you know, behind me and I've got the cart in front of me. I have no way to leave and I don't like feeling this way type of thing. But just like checking in with yourself and saying, wait, is this mine or is this the other person's can be huge.
I've got two things to add on there. The first one is that when advanced in this skill of being able to realize like, oh, is this mine or somebody else's, it does provide a good opportunity. Again, not to be like overly positive here, but there is a moment there if we realize, oh, I'm feeling this. Oh, I'm picking it up from the cashier. Oh, I have a chance to now look the cashier in the eyes and smile and say, thank you so much. I hope you have a good day.
Yep, exactly.
You know, it's not an obligation. You're not responsible for other people's feelings. But my God, if you could have the opportunity to help somebody and to for you to be the regulator, it doesn't cost you anything. And it helps somebody else. That's great. And I think that that's a beautiful practice to have in the world. If you are experiencing a lot of anxiety that's being like put upon you by other people, one thing you could do is perhaps work on, can I become a soothing force rather than an absorbing force? It's not an obligation. Again, if that's not going to work for you, don't do it. But perhaps it's helpful. The other option that, again, I learned, I think, from a supervisor at some point, was just to go and wash my hands.
Yes, I do that too. Oh, I haven't noticed anyone else. I don't know anyone else who does that. I'm so excited right now. I tell my clients to do that. I'm like, go run your hands underwater. Oh my gosh.
It really helps. And I always hit my wrists for some reason. I have this weird thing where I rub my hands in a certain way. Like I ritualize it.
Yeah.
Even if you don't have access to water, you can do something else. Like imagine a white light bubble around you, or imagine the stress kind of like just washing off of you. You can do that mentally. And there is a way to just protect yourself. Step one is just recognizing when it's not yours.
Yeah. I'm so excited that you wash your hands. Cause that's, I mean,
it's not just for hygiene,
right? It's not just for hygiene. It's for soothing. And so, I actually have a ritual that I do, especially when I was seeing clients in person in my office. It's been really difficult to find a ritual with telehealth, but I can't remember who taught me this. I might have read it somewhere, but it's been really healing and powerful. So at the end of the day, because as therapists, we are with all kinds of energy and stress, and we have to work really hard to make sure we're not bringing that home or carrying it with us all the time. And honestly, it's a question I get a lot from clients is, how do you not bring your work home with you? And the truth is, like, you know, I do, I'm human. I think about my clients all the time. Mm-hmm. But something that I had started doing, especially when I was working in person, was at the end of the day, I would have this ritual where, you know, I would stand in the doorway of my office, and I would just like look into the room, and I would take this really like deep, intentional inhale and slow exhale, and then just express like gratitude for all of the clients that I had seen that day. And I would recite, you know, a mantra, something, you know, short and simple, like, you know, I leave what's been said and experienced here in this safe, sacred space. And just saying something like that has been really helpful, because it's not only a verbal exercise, it's a visual and somatic exercise, because I'm taking a moment to like breathe in, breathe out, visualize leaving things in the room, and then actually like reciting the mantra. And you can do that even if you're not a therapist, when you leave work, before you walk into your home, at night when you're trying to go to sleep and you're stressed, you can say something like, I am going to visually set all my stress on this table and pick it up when I wake up in the morning, because right now my body needs to rest.
You know, as you're talking, it's so beautiful what you just said. So, so beautiful. As you're talking, I'm just kind of staring at my cards, and suddenly I landed on the strength card. I think that that's what we're talking about. This, I love the strength card, because stress is overwhelming, just like a lion. And it's our job to be the person who is the human form who can tame the lion. And what you just described is the strength card. Of being able to say, like, that's a lot. That's overpowering. That could devour me.
Yes.
And I'm going to have the strength to be able to put it down. This is how we manage stress.
It totally is. I love that you brought the strength card in. So now that we're talking about cards again, you and I had spoken last night about us possibly spending some time just pulling cards based on a spread for the collective about stress. And I think we should probably just pull cards now.
I think let's do it.
So we came up with four prompts.
So we did design this to have laid out in a cross form. It's four prompts. And just for the sake of time, we're going to do it with Shannon reading for one and two, and I'm going to read for three and four.
Perfect. So question number one is, in what way does this stress serve me? So you can think about this question in terms of like the stress you're experiencing currently, or just like stress in general, like in what ways does it serve you? So for question number one, in what way does this stress serve me? I pulled the Six of Pentacles, and to be totally transparent, this super threw me off. I sat here and struggled with it for a minute, but Anthony's amazing and was able to, you know, edit this stuff out for us. And then I realized, I think the Six of Pentacles, because it's all about giving and receiving, it goes back to, Luna, what you had mentioned earlier about, am I going to absorb or am I going to soothe? And I think that's how I'm going to choose to interpret this. In what ways does stress serve me? It's our ability to really practice and understand the human experience and learn that there are some things that are within our control, some things that are not. And just like with everything in our life, there's this constant give and take, this ebb and flow. And I think stress in both positive and negative ways does serve us, because when we go back to thinking about eustress can be a motivator. Negative stress can also be a motivator. Like, I don't like this. I want something to be changed. So, you know, it's so funny. So you can't see me right now, but I'm sitting here moving my hands up and down as if I'm holding, you know, as if I'm showing a balance between, you know, two things. And I'm looking at the Six of Pentacles, and, you know, the person is actually holding one of those scales. I just realized that. And I'm sitting here like, I wish you could see me right now. Like, I'm literally just like moving my hands up and down, like, yeah, like you give and then you take and you give and you take. And so interesting. Yeah, I'm going to have to reflect on that a little bit more though, because it did throw me for a loop. But I feel like there's more depth there than maybe I'm providing you all right now.
You know, I mean, I think it's such an interesting card that you pulled that, honestly. Yeah. Like, I mean, because what does, I'm going to talk about you personally for a moment, which is not something that we typically do. But I mean, I think that it's a really interesting answer to that question. In what ways does stress serve you? I think that it might take somebody who's like a type A and mm-hmm. sort of, if you create enough stress, eventually the person says mercy. Yeah. And says like, I need help. And yeah. Maybe stress is there to teach you that lesson of asking for help.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah. Cause it's, yeah. Ooh. Cause the picture does show these people like kind of kneeling in front of this person who's giving with their hands out, basically saying, what can you help me with?
I've always found this card so personally challenging.
It is a challenging card.
It's a really challenging, and it like makes me kind of like get like well up a little bit, because mm-hmm. I know very well what it is to be in all of the roles on this card. I know what it's like to be brought to my knees, and I know what it's like to be able to give. Mm-hmm. And both are really powerful experiences.
They really are. Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to do some work around that card, because it's certainly something that, yeah, holds a lot of power and personal experience for sure. Maybe things that we often want to avoid. Yeah. So for the second question, I pulled the Five of Wands reverse. And the second question is, what do I need to accept about this stress? And the Five of Wands reverse is pretty funny for this, because it's really just like, listen, like conflict's going to happen. Like stress is going. It's just so funny that this is the card that came out. It's like, it's really about just saying, deal with it. Like the stress isn't going anywhere. It's a part of life. And that's something that we, you know, we do need to learn to embrace and accept. And if we avoid or ignore that, it's just going to make it worse.
You know, like I recently read somewhere, and I wish I could give credit to whoever wrote it, but like somebody described Five of Wands as the ultimate workplace drama card. I think that it's in the, it's from Scorpio C in their book. But I think that Five of Wands always kind of makes me like check myself of like, seriously, is this really that important? Mm-hmm. And when I see it in reverse, it again, it goes back to that playful feeling of like, can we just let this go, please? Like, right. It's don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah.
Nice.
What did you pull?
So question three, is, what about this stress do I need to release? And, you know, like this, that was the prompt where you and I had a conversation, which, by the way, we had a really great conversation last night. And I kind of wish that we had recorded it.
I know, right? I was thinking the same.
Yeah, because it was so interesting to just realize how much, although the cards themselves can be interpreted in so many different ways, also a spread can be interpreted in so many different ways. So as we kind of came up upon some of these questions, it was sort of like, I see that prompt like this. Wait, no, but I meant it like this. Oh, wait, I didn't see it that way. And I think that's also something that's beautiful about tarot and about creating spreads, is that even the questions can be interpreted. The way I interpret this question, what about this stress do I need to release, is really like either what do I need to change in my life or what do I need to see in a different way. I pulled the Knight of Pentacles on this card, which I think is, I think that it's a personal pull in a lot of ways and not so much for the collective, but perhaps Knight of Pentacles to me, I actually really admire Knight of Pentacles. To me, it seems like a person who was really organized and really had their priorities in order and was really dedicated and hardworking and did it from a young age, which, by the way, does not define me at all. And I think that I sort of have been chasing it a little bit through my life of trying to be an organized and together person and a person who really like sets goals and like slams them. And it's funny because I do an awful lot of that, but it always kind of bothers me. Like I kind of want to be a Monica and I'm not a Monica. I'm talking about Friends. I don't know if that's like an old reference or not. But I like the idea of releasing. Like it's not going to be picture perfect and get over it.
Yeah, that's a really good interpretation of, you know, the Knight of Pentacles, because I think the Knight of Pentacles offers us this, it gives us permission to say, you know what, like this is something that I am going to deal with. And if I want to, you know, chase these goals or do these projects, that comes with a sense of both positive and negative stress. And that's something that I'm just willing to, I almost want to say embrace, but it's really what I need to release, and maybe need to release the idea that I'm not going to experience stress if I'm going after like.
Yeah. I think that what you just said is so brilliant. Like that's exactly like, that's the other piece of it. Like release the idea of like, you don't get there without the diligent hard work. Yes. Like that's just the cost of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sort of like we were talking about last week with dishes, sex, and money, like there's a cost to being in a relationship with somebody. There's a cost to doing anything. Like there's work involved.
Exactly.
So nice. That was well done.
What'd you pull for number four?
The number four is what could be a different perspective, which I think is really what we were saying in the beginning of this episode so much, is sort of like, how can we see this differently? And of course, like, so funny, I pulled the High Priestess.
So funny story though, like when I pulled some cards on the spread personally, like I pulled the High Priestess for In What Ways Does Stress Serve Me? So I love that you pulled it for the last one.
I mean, I think just gentle, perhaps not so gentle reminder of like, dude, you're worrying about earthly things. And really, it kind of doesn't matter, which I think is a great lesson. I mean, years ago, years and years and years ago, somebody gave me the question of, does this matter in 5 years?
Right.
Which I said to myself this morning as I was 10 minutes late, dropping my daughter off for her first day of school, and the traffic has been horrible, and I'm like trying to self-soothe, which makes her even more anxious, you know, like, and does this matter in 5 years? No. Yeah. And does this matter in 50 years or 1,000 years? Definitely not.
I love that. And I love that you pulled the High Priestess for this, because I think, not even beyond just asking, does this matter in 5 years? It gives us an opportunity to really check in with ourselves. Like, what is a different perspective? What is my intuition saying? What's my intuition saying that? And how can I make sure that it's not my anxiety talking or the stress talking? it's almost like this like inner wisdom, this inner guide. And what happens if you take a minute to turn towards yourself in a soothing way, instead of turning inwards from a stressful, anxious way?
Which all goes back to another episode that we have listed on our gigantic list of episode topics, is it anxiety or is it intuition?
Right.
And I think that goes back to the moment of talking about like the cashier, you know, like that's a form of intuition, of being able to pick up on somebody else's anxiety, energy, emotions. And that's a gift that the High Priestess gives to us. But we need to understand the gift that we are holding rather than just like letting it run wild.
Thank you so much for listening to The Tarot Diagnosis. You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok under the handle @TheTarotDiagnosis and join us while we pull daily cards and explore tarot and mental health in between podcast episodes. You can also subscribe to our podcast to make sure that you never miss an episode. If you have a topic or question that you'd like for us to explore on the podcast, you can contact us directly on our website, www.thetarotdiagnosis.com.